I mentioned the circumstances that brought me to serve as chamber chair for a second year. Dina, just so you know, has a much better deal in North Carolina. Ken Fogel got a much bigger and better job in Dallas, and I got a second year as a volunteer. I've always said, if it eats up time and doesn't pay anything, I'm your guy. Glenn Brewer is our chair-elect, who will be taking over for me next year. Kat, I love you. Glenn, I love you. Love the kids. I hope you don't get a promotion for 2 years. Except for, your bosses are here, right? Except for Dina leaving, it's been a great year for the Bryan College Station Chamber of Commerce. The chamber is financially sound with a reserve in the bank. Our membership is growing. Our programs are well attended, and under Royce's leadership and guidance, the chamber is held in the highest regard in our community. This year, we found our outreach to A&M and Blinn was welcomed, both by the membership side and the education side. We now have representatives from each school on our board of directors, and like tonight, we believe it's critical to our members' success to hear what's just over the horizon from the economic driver of our communities. Other than this outreach, though, this year the Chamber advanced the cause of education, not only the programs for business owners, but by bringing over 2,000 eighth grade students to the Expo Center to talk with representatives of 81 real live business people about careers. We covered the full spectrum of the trades to the college programs that'll help them focus their efforts as they go into high school. We educated voters with candidate forums before each election. We networked, we advocated in DC, we researched, and we cut ribbons, a lot of ribbons, over 80 of them in 2012. Oftentimes that outreach and member service is assumed to be the default position, but it is not. The challenge nonprofit space is daunting, and private nonprofits live or die by the perceived value placed on it by the membership. The Chamber is the only private organization whose only purpose is to advance the cause of business and to help improve the business environment. We and our other chambers are it. And the Bryan College Station Chamber of Commerce is known as one of the best. We get it right, and for that, staff, Royce, we as members applaud you. So, what are you guys doing tomorrow night? Going to watch a little TV, listen to a little radio? Got anything going on? Just going to sit around, watch Honey Boo Boo or whatever that is. And it's not yours? You could work on that. You need to see if that's even open. Tomorrow night is the night that the candidates finish and the lawyers begin. And we are one day away from the next 4 years. This was the year of numbers. We started out looking at the Occupy movement and their disdain for the 1% before we found out about the 47%. Tonight, we have $1,248 billion more debt than we had at last year's banquet. And a lot of stimulus we discovered. After a lot of stimulus, we discovered all we needed to get unemployment below 8% was just to schedule an election. And we beat Mississippi State by 25 points and only moved up one spot in the rankings. Here's another number that I think we probably need to contemplate for tomorrow night, and that's 50-50. I know what my gut says, and I know what the polls say, but I have trouble believing either one of them. If you have a political awareness that goes back 12 years to 2000, you have a visceral reaction whenever you hear somebody say, well, tomorrow we're going to know for sure and it'll all be over. How many of you say, gosh, I hope so? Because 537 votes chose the President of the United States, not on Election Day, but over a month later on December the 12th. How many of you have heartburn just thinking back to Bush v. Gore? That was about as wrenching as you get, and yet we as business people in our communities carried on. So what are you doing Wednesday, the day after the election? If you're in this room, you probably knew who you were voting for months ago and most likely have already voted. And just like the people in the blue states, you're probably wondering how the other half of America could be so wrong about their politics. We do have social issues to resolve, and passions do run hot. I know that one year my lovely wife Lily was so disappointed by the election outcome, she bought a wreath, painted it black, and hung it on the door the day after the election. Now, as a husband of long standing, who wanted to be standing longer, I would advise you that when you see that on your door, you do not ask questions, and you sure as heck do not take it off the door and say, what are you doing with this out there? Just leave it there, and it will be just fine eventually. We look at the economic hand that we've been dealt here, and we recognize how lucky we are to be in a community where hard work is rewarded, where people actually respect a successful business. But when you talk economics to a lot of young people and to the general public, you recognize that we may be losing the battle for their economic hearts and minds. And that's kind of my challenge to you for what to do on Wednesday. The role of profits is poorly understood. I can't say I'm surprised, since the role of business in job creation and tax generation is argued at the highest levels of government by people who really ought to know better. After all, last year's median income for families nosed out Silicon Valley and became the highest income metropolitan area in the country. In case you're wondering, the median income in Washington, D.C. is $84,523. There is a cost associated with living free, prosperous lives. In a country this size, there are a lot of things that only the government can do. Defense is the usual example. But my belief is that only voters who have an understanding of the free enterprise system and what we do will know the difference between protection from bioterrorism and a new recreation center. The rhetoric in this campaign and in the media have shown us that the role of business in America has been papered over by arguments that tend to put us in factions that now are defined by percentages. On Wednesday morning, you have an obligation to get up and do the best you can for your company. You have that same obligation to be a part of this community and serve its needs and help improve it. And I would ask you to add to that obligation to explain it is what we do, to explain how business works, the role of profits in rewarding hard work, and how these profits and rewards can be used to serve our communities. There isn't a government grant out there for a Little League team. It's the business community that's asked to advertise in the yearbooks and the band program. It's people with jobs who are asked to contribute to causes. We should always explain that there is a connection to success. We should always say that charitable contributions come from companies that make a profit and people who have jobs. We have to tell that story. We have to explain how this works. Last year, when I spoke to you, I had a realization that kind of sent chills down my back. And I'm going to repeat it tonight because it sort of bears repeating. I don't have just one speech. I understand that my community service speech is really a stem winder, and I could give that to you, but we're all business people. We're the ones here who understand profit, who understand business, who probably three or four times a day says, what were they thinking? Don't they know we have to make a profit if we're going to stay in this business? But it does bear repeating. My mother and my grandmother were teachers all their lives in the aforementioned Hope, Arkansas, population 8,399. My grandmother Mary taught hundreds of students in her time. My mother taught more, hundreds of little faces looking up to them for inspiration, guidance, and mentoring. Two faces out of hundreds in those classrooms turned out to play a major role in shaping how we think about the world. My grandmother taught Bill Clinton, and my mother taught Mike Huckabee. I think my mother and grandmother's opportunity to shape destiny would have been rather spectacular if they had only known what these two boys would have become. I think about what sort of stories they taught them and what morals were drawn from those stories that they taught. I worry about some unintentional slight or the effect of some unexpected kindness. Mom and Miss Mary didn't know who was in that room listening to them, and frankly, you don't know who's listening to you either. Maybe the people you're talking to are in a position to take your story and move the story of business forward. Maybe not. 30 years of Santa Claus. There's always a Cub Scout, who comes up and says, you're not the real Santa Claus. And I always say, maybe not, but can you afford to take that chance? So, can you afford to take the chance that you won't be speaking to a future presidential candidate? Can you overlook the opportunity to expand your employees' understanding of where jobs come from? Or do we wait for that iced-down Gatorade splash of a layoff or a category-killing legislation to make that point? If you don't think it can happen, just talk to somebody who burns coal for a living. We should also accept that every organization has the opportunity for excess. So we accept rules to stop that kind of stuff. But unless we show that profitable business is a force for the common good, we take the chance that crimes and shortcut in one place will swell into an indictment of business in general. During the 401k meltdown of a few years back, I had an employee who kept asking me how much Brian Broadcasting stock was his 401k in. Now, yeah, we're a private company. We don't have stock. But what had happened was that the stories in the press had outrun his ability to understand how business worked. And because of that, I was being painted with the same brush as a lot of the people who were in the headlines a few years back. All businesses have a certain sense of modesty, and we should fight back on that sometimes and talk about our beliefs in ethical behavior and support for our communities. We do support our communities. We do what other groups of people cannot, and we should accept those plaques, we should accept those certificates, and we should put them on the wall and display them proudly. We have to make sure that we let people on the outside, and young people especially, know how things work. I mean, they can understand that. They know the difference between an Apple and an Android phone. I couldn't tell you. So how hard can it be to tell them that you have to make money? Business has to be successful. Our story told often does make a difference. Like the women of my family, we don't know how. We don't know when it will make a difference. We can hope that people pick it up on their own. Or if you take your opportunity at career day, at networking events, or at the water cooler to explain the free enterprise system, we might be able to give the next generation a head start on what has made American business as great as it is today. Our silence today explaining to people will result in economic ignorance tomorrow. And like the coal industry of 5 years ago, do you really think you can take that chance? Thank you very much for this chance.